Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Your daily spiritual nourishment. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
It's Ranzu and Jesus, you are taking us to 12 minutes after 1 o'clock. And it is, of course, almost time for my chat with Charlene Naidoo. So stick around for it, because today we're talking about... Okay, let me leave it to Charlene.
In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Sitshele ukuthi ucabangani. Sicela ukuzwa uvo lwakho. Ungasithinta ku gospel@radiopulpit.co.za noma usithumele iWhatsApp ku 0826572729. Radio Pulpit, umngani wakho wemihla ngemihla.
A very good afternoon to you. One warm welcome once again. It is, of course, that time of the week when we talk about mental health. We often focus on big things like burnout or anxiety, but many people are struggling with a quieter kind of mental exhaustion. Have you heard about decision fatigue? It's basically the impact of making constant small decisions every day, and how this hidden mental load can affect our mood, focus, and overall well-being. And joining me this afternoon to have our talk on mental health and decision fatigue is none other than the editor of Wellbeings Africa, Charlene Naidoo. Charlene, good afternoon and welcome back, my sweetheart.
Good afternoon, Luko. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me as usual. And hi to everyone listening.
It's been a while, I must say.
It's been a while, but
welcome back. Now, for someone listening who's never heard the term before, how would you explain decision fatigue?
So, you know, I read an interesting sentiment about it, and it made so much sense. It's explained as your brain has a limited daily decision budget. Which is quite a quirky way to think about it, but yeah. I find it's really practical. So you tell me if you agree or not. Mm-hmm. So think about it. It's about every choice you make. Okay, so what do I wear today? How do I reply to this email? I received an invitation to something. Do I say yes to that? What do I eat for lunch? What do I cook for dinner? So it's all these decisions that you make every day, and it tends to spend a bit of that budget is how it is explained.
Oh, good.
So when this decision-making kind of runs low, then your brain starts to look for shortcuts, which brings us to decision fatigue. It's basically what happens when your brain gets worn down. It gets tired from making too many decisions, too many small choices. But in super simple terms, it's basically the more decisions you make, the worse your brain gets at making those decisions. Or maybe not worse, but simply tired or exhausted. And you start making poorer decisions instead of the smarter choices. So I don't know if that makes sense, but when I read about it, I was like, yes, that actually makes sense. There is a point in the day, in the week, when you are just, I cannot make the smallest of decisions. And then you kind of make the poorer decision.
I think we all get to that point. Sometimes you're like, I just want to be a kid again and not have to make these decisions.
Exactly. You don't want that responsibility, because I think this is something we maybe don't realize, but making decisions every day, making choices, it's responsibility. Because think about it, every choice that you make, there might be a repercussion attached to it. You know, there's no perfect choice or decision.
Okay. Now, tell me, Charlene, does it feel like we're all more mentally tired now, even if our workload hasn't technically increased?
Yes. And I think also, you know, when we're talking about this specific topic, I think when it comes to health, you know, we think about things like diabetes, we think about heart health, we think about cancer risk, we think about like the really big and obvious things. And yes, we do talk about that a lot. You know, we've got our medical experts who come on and we discuss all those big things. But something like decision fatigue, you might be listening to it now and you might be thinking, is this really a thing? Like, do I really need to be concerned about it? But the short answer is yes, because it goes back to your question that yes, we are all mentally tired more and more every day. I guarantee you, just do a quick survey amongst your friends or your family. I guarantee 90% of people will agree to being mentally tired. And it doesn't matter when you ask. I mean, we're still in like the early part of the year, and there are people who are feeling like this already. So a topic like this, it might seem random, it might seem arbitrary, it might seem really small, but I just want you to think about how much we do each day and how our brains are being used. Because a lot of everyday work now, as you said, if even if your workload technically hasn't increased, what has increased is those quick, short bursts of work and tasks. So you're working on something, then there's an email, you stop and you attend to that. Then there's a text message, then there's a voice note, then someone stops by your desk for like a so-called quick chat, but it's never a quick chat, right? Each thing seems small, but it has this compounding effect. And that's what leads to that mental fatigue, that decision overload. Because each time, each interruption is basically asking your brain to stop and switch focus. Stop what you're doing, decide how to respond, then try to go back to what you were doing before. But that constant switching, it drains that mental energy. So it might seem small on paper, but it's really not. And I think we must also mention that, we don't really have many natural stopping points anymore. If you think about it, work used to have clearer boundaries. For instance, you'd leave the office, right? And you'd close your emails. And that can be dealt with the next day. But now you get home, you log on, you get your emails on your phone, you get notifications. So your brain stays slightly or even intensely on all the time, even after hours. So even if you're not actively working, your mind is still monitoring, it's still anticipating, it's still thinking about what you need to respond to next. And all those little things lead to that mental fatigue and overload that we're talking about.
Interesting. Now, what are some everyday examples of these small decisions that quietly drain our mental energy?
So think about it like this, Luca. Okay, most of the decisions that make us exhausted, they're not actually the big life-changing ones. It's those tiny constant changes that you don't really notice. So, okay, from the moment you wake up, your brain starts deciding, do I get up now or do I snooze for 5 more minutes? Okay.
You're talking about Luca's brain there.
Exactly. I'm sure many people could relate. So you're already starting off with like a choice immediately. Then you're like, what do I wear today? Do I check my phone before I'm properly awake? And if you check your phone, by the way, chances are there might be something work-related or personal or whatever there that needs a response. Then you feel that pressure to respond. You haven't even gotten out of the bed yet, okay?
Haven't even brushed
You've
your
already
teeth.
made these dis exactly. You've already made these decisions. They don't feel demanding, but now think about it. You're already beginning to use that mental energy, and your day hasn't even started. You haven't even gotten to the car yet and driven to work. Then at work, this is now when the intensity really picks up. It's the messages, it's the emails, it's the meetings. Should I reply? Should I wait? Is it urgent? You're having a conflict with someone. You need to send a memo or an email. How do I word this so it doesn't sound rude or dismissive? Okay. Now you're stressing your brain out to think about that. You're putting pressure on yourself. I mean, I don't know about you, but even reading a message sometimes, do you feel pressure to answer immediately, especially if it's from a friend?
Yeah, I do. I think especially because I'm so terrible with responding to text. So sometimes I see it, and as much as I don't do it, I don't respond in the immediate. But generally, I'll think about it over and over again. I need to get back to the text. I need to get. I feel like I
Exactly.
have to, and if I don't, I'm such a terrible person.
Exactly. There's so much pressure in that you've gotten a WhatsApp from someone, you've gotten a text message from a friend, a family member, and you feel like, oh my gosh, if I don't respond now, and then as you delayed, if you're busy with something, then that pressure keeps building up. But It's again so much of intensity and pressure you're putting on yourself and your mind and your mental state, which is what's leading to that fatigue. So we've only taken two scenarios so far. We've taken just waking up and just getting to work, okay? Outside of work, those decisions don't stop. It continues. It continues in terms of what are you cooking for dinner? Are you going to the gym today? Coming back to the thing about replying to friends and family messages that you didn't get around to doing during the day. So again, these are not heavy decisions, but you can see how they keep stacking up. Okay. Here's a funny thing I want to mention. I have this experience constantly, and I know tons of people have it. I will get onto my TV to try and watch something. Okay. I spend more time scrolling to find something to watch than the actual time watching the movie.
This is
Okay.
so funny because I just came from a funeral, and that's what they said of the gentleman, that he spends more time, so he would spend more time searching for the movie than
Right.
actually watching it. I didn't even know that existed.
It is such a thing because it's decision overload. Number one, it's endless. It's a movie. It's a series. How much time do I want to invest? Do I want to start a whole series now, which is going to be like 20 something episodes? Or do I just want to watch a 2-hour movie? I've gone through this almost like every time I sit down to try and watch something. And that ends up stressing me out. And you know what I invariably do is I end up watching something I've watched already because it's more comforting and it's less responsibility. That
Really?
doesn't, I don't know if that makes sense,
It
but
does.
it's the decision overload. So you see now like how we apply the scenarios to our everyday from the morning throughout the day. And then you wonder, okay, why can't I switch off at night? It's because your brain has been running at this full pressure and intensity the entire day.
Very interesting. So tell me, Charlene, how much of this is linked to how we communicate now?
So much. I think this is a lot more than we probably realize because communication used to be a lot more contained. Like we said, we used to have set times to work, set places to work. You know, now everything's kind of boundaryless. And before, I think, you know, there were clearer expectations or just understanding about when someone would respond. But now that communication is constant, it's informal. As we said, you're answering work emails or work communications when you're at home. So there's really like everything's become blurred. And every message, as we said, it creates that immediate decision if we don't respond. When that WhatsApp comes out in, when that voice note comes in. By the way, let's talk about voice notes quickly, a quick segue. Okay. Because I am guilty of sending voice notes, but I'm also guilty. But I also think to myself, number one, I feel like it gives that person on the other side they can listen to it at their leisure, you know, as and how they want it. Whereas I feel like a text message is almost very demanding, like you've got to respond to it now. But again, like, I mean, are we crossing boundaries sending a voice note? Should we even be doing that? Because are you not still putting pressure on people? So I feel like, you know, having all of these communication methods, your brain has to register and decide, is it urgent? Do I reply now or later? How carefully do I need to word this? You know, someone sends you a whole paragraph and you respond with, like, okay, cool, thanks. You know, what is that saying? So all of these things, again, do you see now how it starts to pile up and start to affect you and lead to that decision fatigue?
Can I tell you what I think, though? I think we are such a generation of triggers and excessive
Oof.
boundaries that
Yes.
we don't know how to relate to people anymore. You know, I realized, and just the other day, there came a time in our generation where we were quite, in fact, we are still quite anti-phone calls. But then you
Absolutely.
don't want
Yes.
phone calls, you prefer a WhatsApp, but then the same you are irritated by voice notes. I think
Absolutely.
we are and unknowingly, and I think it's all of us actually, or a majority of us, we are, our sense of communication is debilitating every single day. I'm going to make an example of myself. I don't really mind phone calls much, but I'm going to be honest, there are phone calls that will come in and I'll still ignore, which means a certain degree of me gets annoyed with calls. Then yes. I'm extremely terrible with WhatsApp. Like, you know that, Charlene. You'll send me a text, and because I'm so not in touch with WhatsApp, I'll go in and still not spot your text. Not because my WhatsApp has too much traffic, but I think we're terrible communicators. The only time we know to properly communicate is when Charlene is in front of me. That's the generation we've become. So now you don't know whether Luco prefers a phone call, a voice note, or a text. It's really confusing, honestly.
It's really confusing. And you know what's ironic? You've said, like, we're terrible at communication, which is true, but yet we have more communication tools than ever before. There is no way that you can run, that you can hide.
Yeah.
You can be tracked down through anything, whether it's an email, whether it's a WhatsApp, you know, whether it's through social media, someone going onto your social media account or whatever. But as you said, like, we are still terrible at communication. And I think that's maybe one of the problems, is that just by having all these available methods and communication tools, it also creates that, I feel like it creates that sense that, because you have a phone, you should always be reachable.
Yeah.
But why? Who says that? As you said, you can go into your WhatsApp. You are not obligated to respond to my WhatsApp that I sent at 9 o'clock this morning. You know, you could be doing whatever you were doing. But somehow, you know, someone else is going to think, well, she's got a phone, she's got WhatsApp, but she's not responding to me. There's this expectation that you must be available. You must make yourself available.
Yeah.
So,
which is unfair.
Just keeps coming.
Which is unfair if you think about it, because our lives have got to continue with or without these devices.
Yes, exactly. And it's draining, because let's come back to the topic. I mean, the overall idea here is that it's not even real work. This doesn't feel like real work, but it's so exhausting to have to make these decisions minute by minute, message by message, email by email. And it just creates this constant stream of micro decisions that just wear us down over time. So this modern communication, I think, plays a huge, huge role in this mental fatigue that we're talking about.
Sure. This conversation is honestly digging into who we are and who we are to become, because I'm listening and I'm thinking,
becoming is what I'm worried about.
Because as much as I kind of, like, I'm saying we are a confused generation, the same me, I'm like you, saying at the end of the day, I really don't want to have to jump at my phone because you sent a text. I want to be able to do it at my desired time, because, like, it goes back to our conversation. We put that pressure on each other, which kind of unsettles us. And hence I understand then this whole decision fatigue thing. We'd see, daily we just have to make a decision to respond. I need to do this. I need to get back to Charlene. I need to. And we get tired of it, honestly.
And by the way, what you just said now about it, it's unsettling. I tried this a while ago. I think it was a couple months ago. I was just trying to do this on a Sunday where I just was not looking at my phone, because I really was trying to, you know, just have that digital break.
Yeah.
And I realized, like, after a couple of Sundays of doing it and looking at my messages later in the evening, people on the receiving end were unsettled by it.
Oh.
Because they were like, well, why didn't you respond? Are you okay? It immediately becomes a, are you okay? What's going on thing.
Yes.
So again, that's the society and context we're in at the moment now, I guess, because I can also understand it in perspective. You know, I haven't heard from my friend for 24 hours. Is she okay?
And a friend that I usually talk to every other hour. Yeah.
So that's the other thing. We do use communication to check in, to make sure you're okay. Are you safe? You know, all those important things. So what happens now if we actually try to take a step back and, you know, just detach from your phone, your communication tools for 12 hours of the day, it does cause an unsettling effect because as a society, we're now conditioned to not be that way.
Exactly. Sure. Now, listen, can decision fatigue actually affect otherwise healthy, high-functioning people?
I think it's weird because you wouldn't think that such a seemingly small thing would, but it does.
Okay.
There was a study where researchers found that they found that the more choices a person made, the more likely they were to give up, lose willpower, and struggle with just endurance. It's because, you know, we're coming back to that idea of there's this overwhelming amount of choices to make in any given day.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of becomes easy to give up at some point and just, like, as we said, make the poorer choice. So yes, decision fatigue, it really often shows up quite clearly in, you know, otherwise healthy, high functioning people. So people who are organized, who are capable, responsible, they do tend to make more decisions, not fewer decisions, because
yeah.
they're the ones like others will come to for answers. Or can I get your opinion because, you know, you're so good at this.
Mm-hmm.
So over time, that steady stream of choosing and making decisions, it adds up. But, you know, we spoke about this before as well, you know, just high functioning people, they can function well on the outside. So you don't really think about the impact that's happening on the inside.
Mm.
So they'll still get the small things done. They'll show up, they'll do their work, but internally that pressure is starting to get to them. They feel drained. They feel impatient. They feel frustrated with the small things. So on the outside, you can see this person who's so confident and they're making big decisions at work and they're running with things so amazingly well. But on the inside, they might be completely overwhelmed by something simple and small in their personal life, like even just deciding what to eat or, you know, where to go out or make plans or something. So that's like a sign that the brain is doing exactly what it's designed to do. They're conserving energy when it's been heavily used. They're making the big decisions. But when it comes to the small everyday decisions, that's where the decision fatigue is letting them down. So it's something to really watch for in yourself, pay attention to if you are feeling like that. If you're feeling like, hey, I'm fine, I can do all the big stuff at work, but then suddenly in your personal life, you're completely collapsing about small things, then it's about that mental load.
Sure. Now, if decision fatigue is the problem, is resting enough? Or do we need to approach this differently?
Definitely approach this differently because, yes, the rest helps, but it's not usually enough on its own. So I think as we understand it now, decision fatigue, it's not really about just being tired, like, okay, I need to go take a nap and I'll be okay. But it's more about how often your brain is being asked to choose, okay? So if you rest, but then tomorrow morning you return to the same constant stream of micro decisions, the fatigue is just going to come back, right? So we need to think of it like this. Sleep will recharge the battery, but the charger is still plugged into too many devices.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I think we have to try and think of it very literally like that. So what helps is the rest, yes, but also we need to look at reducing the number of decisions your brain has to make in one given day. You know, for example, like we said, many people, they rest in ways that still involve choosing. So you think, like my example, I said, I want to watch a movie, but it's not really restful for me because now I've got the anxiety of choosing something to watch. And conversely, that's making me more mentally fatigued. So the brain is still deciding what to click, what to respond to, when to stop. So it's not really restoring that mental energy. So I think practically we can look at things like try to reduce those unnecessary choices where you can. Okay.
Yeah.
Make the basic simple choices, whether it comes to like your meals or your clothes or when to respond to emails and messages, for instance. Make like one choice about it and stick to that so that you're not constantly thrown out of flux and you're not thrown out of your routine and your schedule. So let's go back to your example of when to respond to WhatsApp messages. You must find a time that works for you, unless it's absolutely life-threatening. Maybe it's only going to work for you, Luca, like, after 4 every days when I'm going to respond to text messages. That isn't that going to reduce, like, it's going to take such a mental load off you. Because there's no pressure. You're not watching your phone. You don't care about the notifications. You're just carrying on with your day. 4 p.m., I'm going to respond to text messages. So create those little routines, create those defaults, like when you check your emails, when you check your messages. Make those batch decisions instead of spreading them out and instead of responding reactively. I think a lot of us do that. We stop immediately whatever we're doing and we're like, oh my gosh, here's another urgent, well, so-called urgent thing that I've got to give my time and my mental space to. So make those routines and schedules work for you. And focus on your rest, get that sleep, take your breaks, get like really good productive time to just power down your brain almost. Think of it as load shedding, reduce the load so that you actually can recover and feel mentally healthier.
All right. Now, from a workplace perspective, what are small changes that can reduce decision fatigue without hurting productivity?
I think one of the biggest things here is clarity. I think that when people are not clear about their priorities, their expectations, their ownership, we go back to the thing about being reactive. So you are forced to make constant judgment calls, okay? So when it comes to your work, have your deadlines, have your clear roles, your clear definitions of what needs to be done and by when. And this will help you to remove like those micro decisions that you're making almost every hour. So it's about less guesswork and more energy for the actual work. I think another helpful change, and I think workplaces like this needs to start in the workplaces, it's just about reducing that interruption culture, I think. Okay, so we're not saying, look, communication is bad, but just being more intentional about it. Okay. So, not everything needs a quick, urgent meeting. Not everything needs to be respond to this email now. There are lots of non-urgent things that can literally go like into a group chat or something that's for, and it could be very low priority. And you can communicate that and say, this doesn't require an instant reply. So you're not putting people under pressure and you're not putting yourself under pressure. So I think like it's, again, like we're talking about this, there's a lot of these small things that are going to make that big difference. And suddenly you're going to notice a lot more clarity. You don't have those headaches at the end of the day from thinking too much, making
Yay.
100 decisions and just being exhausted. So I think really look at how you work and try to find that clarity in your working environment. Try to create that clarity in your environment.
So true. Now, what are some simple, realistic ways that people can reduce the number of decisions they make in a day?
So here, I think we must definitely emphasize the simplest is to create a few daily defaults, for instance, like choosing your outfit for tomorrow, today, if possible, or just having like a template, if you want to call it that. Having a fixed morning routine, so you know that you get up every morning, you don't reach for your phone first thing. So you're not starting off with that pressure to respond to an email, to respond to a text message. And it's not about, making things boring. It's just about finding a calming routine that ideally you want your energy to be focused on the big decisions that actually matter, right? Like on the really big things in life. You don't want to be, you don't want to be exhausted by making small decisions every day, and then suddenly it comes to something that's actually life-changing and you just don't have the mental capacity to do it. So I think another effective approach is to limit like when you decide. So for example, choosing in advance, as we said, when you'll check your messages or emails, that means you've got your time set in stone and that's it. The decision's already made. Simplifying your choices. Oh, and by the way, you can also offload decisions.
Okay.
So not everything needs to be a choice. You know, sometimes just this is not for me or this is a no immediately. And that's it. It's done. Not everything needs to be like, okay, but wait, now I need to write out the pros and cons, the whys, the wins, the hows. Sometimes it's just a no. Sometimes it's just a moving on from this. So I think give yourself permission to do that, to make quick and fast decisions also that don't sap your mental energy. Because as we said, and I want to stress this, like, keep that mental clarity for the really big things in life that need it.
Don't overuse it.
Don't overuse the machine.
Love to hear that. Charlene, my sweetheart, it's really been great, but I wouldn't be doing justice to this conversation if you didn't direct us where to get more of this info.
Yes, and before we sign off, I have to share something super, super exciting.
Okay. We spoke
about this a couple of weeks ago. So Wellbeings Africa is launching its very first annual health challenge. We are kicking off on the 2nd of March, and it's going to be a six-month challenge where we work toward better health habits. So remember what we always talk about on this segment. It's about making small, healthy decisions for better health in the long term. So that's what it's about. It's a Wellbeings Health Challenge 2026. And all you have to do to enter, you just have to email us at hello@wellbeingsafrica.com. That's it. It's a free entry. And yes, there is a big prize for one winner of 5,000 Rand. And you will be featured on Wellbeings. The winner will be featured as we share their, you know, that person's health journey story. So
what
please
does a person
definitely do enter.
What so what does a person email? What do they say in the email?
It's just hello@wellbeingsafrica.com, and you can just say I want to join the Wellbeings Health Challenge, and that's it. And it's really, really simple. You know, we're not going to ask you to run a marathon or anything hectic. The idea is that each month from March to September, we for the 6 months, we focus on one health habit per month. So each week you'll get a weekly email check-in with tips and advice. And the person who wins is the one who shows the most health improvement in the 6 months.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's about holding yourself accountable. And at the end of the challenge, you'll submit like a short reflection of how the 6 months of health habits played out for you. What worked, what didn't work, how you feel, what changed. So that's literally it. All you have to do is just email us hello@wellbeingsafrica.com. Tell us you want to join the health challenge. And then we kick off on the 2nd of March.
Okay,
so,
we need to remind the family. Yes, let's remind them that Luco is also allowed to enter, guys.
Luco is allowed, guys.
Thank you.
Bring it out there.
Oh man, because
small
I'm sending mine right now, just so you know.
There we go. Hello@wellbeingsafrica.com. So I don't want to like be like, okay guys, you know, there is a cash prize, but please don't let that be your only motivation.
Exactly.
Because we want to really influence you to change your health habits so that in 6 months time you can reflect and say, hey, look, you know, this is where I started and this is how I feel. And that's the biggest prize. It's not just the cash prize. The biggest prize is a change in your health.
And chances are, after the 6 months, there's no way you are changing your habits because you've adjusted to it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're doing it as a community. We're going to do it every year. It's going to be a whole annual thing. So you are going to have people there to support you. It's going to be a community. And it's going to be something you can look back on and reflect and say, hey, look, this is what I did in the 6 months. And as Luco said, chances are you are going to stick with that for life. So it's really an investment in your health story.
Perfect. Charlene, let's give it a name, call it a day, my sweetheart. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Luco. Take care.
Let Christ inspire your day. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, bringing the Word of God to you.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Let's praise Him every Sunday morning at 5 with Ayanda Nenemba for prayer, intercession, testimonies, worship, and the Word. Let's praise Him with Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.